The reason we must have hope in life is because we live in a broken world. This is earth, not heaven. So we shouldn't expect things to be perfect here. Because of our self-centered, sinful choices and the tendency of everyone else in every generation to do the same thing, the sins of humanity have damaged what was once a perfect place. Eden is long gone. Our planet is out of order. It's the damage done by what theologians call the fall. We lost paradise and we lost our innocence due to the rebellion against God. And we've struggled with difficulty and doubt and discouragement and despair ever since. You see, absolutely nothing works perfectly on earth. The weather doesn't, the economy doesn't, your own body doesn't. No marriage or relationship works perfectly because it's composed of imperfect people. And your plans in life haven't worked out perfectly. And this is the reason we need hope. Because everything in life is broken, but we're not left alone. God gives us hope. This is Daily Hope, and I'm Rick Warren.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in our series called 40 Days of Love. This is part one of a message called Love is Not Easily Angered, based on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But just before we begin, let me ask you this. Is it possible to love the people in your life any more than you already do? Pastor Rick says it is, but it's not about trying harder or willing yourself to love more. It's about discovering what God says about love in His Word. Jesus said, there's nothing more important than loving God and loving others. That's why Pastor Rick wants to send you his DVD and study guide called The 40 Days of Love Study Kit. In this six-session video series, Rick teaches you how to make loving God and loving others the central focus in your life. He shares practical, Christ-centered advice on how to authentically love God and love your neighbors. When you learn to focus on the spiritual principles of patience, kindness, truth, and forgiveness, love will become your dominant life value. Please let us send you the 40 Days of Love Study Kit as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Call us now at 800-600-5004 or just go to rickwarren.org. That's 1-800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. Thanks in advance for your support. And now here's Pastor Rick with today's message.
Anger is the most misunderstood and, by the way, misapplied emotion of all the emotions that we have as human beings. It is not necessarily a sin. A lot of people think anger is always a sin. Not necessarily. Sometimes anger is the most appropriate response. Actually, anger is a capacity given to you by God. God gets angry. And there are sometimes you should get angry. Sometimes anger is an evidence of love. If somebody hurt my wife, somebody hurt my kids, I would get angry. In fact, if I didn't get angry, it would mean I would be heartless. It would mean I would be apathetic. The opposite of love is not anger. The opposite of love is apathy, not caring. And if you never get angry, it means you're a vegetable, not a human being. There are some times in life you should get angry. The problem is not anger. The problem is whether it's appropriate or inappropriately expressed. Managed anger is actually a good thing. It produces good marriages, it produces good leadership, good churches, good businesses, and many other things in knowing how to put anger in its proper place. The problem is, as I said, is we don't know how to express it because when you grew up, nobody taught you how to manage your anger. And as a result, we live in what psychiatry calls the age of rage. And that's really what our society is today. Nobody learned how to manage their anger. You didn't learn it from your parents. You didn't learn it at school. You don't learn it in business. And in most churches, they don't even teach it. I'm going to teach you tonight. But the Bible's very clear about what is appropriate, what's inappropriate. What we typically do is we go to one extreme or the other. And just because you don't turn into Mount Vesuvius doesn't mean you don't have an anger problem. Let me tell you something. You have an anger problem. You do. And I can give you a dozen different ways that you manifest it, and we're going to talk about those tonight. But typically, the two extremes are some people clam up when they get angry, and other people blow up when they get angry. Some people stuff it all inside, and others let it all out. Some people, there's the difference between the mute, keep it quiet, and the maniac, let it all out. There's the difference. Everybody in life tends to be either a turtle or a skunk. Okay? And when you get into conflict, if you're a turtle, you pull your neck back in and you hide in your shell and you play Mary Martyr. On the other hand, if you're a skunk, you just stink up the place. Okay? And you spew all over and you let everybody know. Now, the truth is, skunks always marry turtles. And turtles always marry skunks. It's just God's sense of humor that he puts opposites together. He says, watch this. We're going to put them together. So in your marriage, one of you is likely to be the skunk and the other is likely to be the turtle. It always, always happens. Now, let me give you a little facts about anger you may not know. For instance, the average woman loses her temper 3 times a week, while the average man loses his temper about 6 times a week. Women get more often angry at people, while men more often get angry at things, you know, machines and stuff like that that break down. Isn't that interesting? Single adults express anger twice as often as married adults. It's interesting. Men are far more physical in their anger than women. You are more likely to express anger at home than anywhere else. Well, duh. Successful marriages are not those marriages where anger or conflict does not exist, but rather it's where they've learned to manage it. And when anger is managed, it produces great marriages and it produces great friendships and great businesses and great athletes and great leaders and all these different things. So this weekend we want to look at what God has to say about how do you tame your temper. And the Bible is very clear about this, particularly in the book of Proverbs. God gives us very specific designs and principles on which we are to build the proper use of anger. Love does not get easily angered. So how do I tame my temper? The first thing God says to do if you want to tame your temper is you must resolve to manage it.
That's Rick Warren with just a portion of today's message called Love is Not Easily Angered. It's from our series called 40 Days of Love. There's a lot of great teaching coming up, so stay right here.
Jesus said that of all the commandments in the Bible, 2 are most important. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. When you do this, you end up obeying the rest of God's commandments and all the relationships in your life, even the difficult ones, get so much better. To help you do this, Pastor Rick wants to send you the 40 Days of Love study kit, which includes a 6-session DVD and a study guide. In this video series, Rick teaches you how to make loving God and loving others the central focus in your life. He shares practical, Christ-centered advice on how to authentically love God and love your neighbor as a normal way of life. When you learn to focus on the spiritual principles of patience, kindness, truth, and forgiveness, love will become your dominant life value. Please let us send you the 40 Days of Love study kit as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Call us now at 800-600-5004 or go to rickwarren.org. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. Thanks in advance for your support.
And once again, here's Rick Warren.
God gives us very specific designs and principles on which we are to build the proper use of anger. Love does not get easily angered. So how do I tame my temper? The first thing God says to do if you want to tame your temper is you must resolve to manage it. Resolve to manage it. And what I mean by that is you quit saying, I can't control it, and start realizing that you can. You stop making excuses for your anger and realize that anger is a choice, just like love. When you get angry, you are choosing to get angry. Nobody's forcing you to get angry. Nobody can make you mad. People say, you make me so mad. Nobody can make you mad without your permission. Anger is a choice. And you choose it or you don't choose it. In fact, you have far more control over your anger than you want to admit. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're at home and you're in an argument with somebody in your family and your voices are raised and you're yelling and you're getting excited and you're upset and you're mad, and all of a sudden the phone rings and you go, "Hello?" "Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, he's right. It's for you, honey." And you hand him the phone. Now, what happened? You just turned on a dime. Anger is highly controllable. Don't tell me that you can't control it. You can change when you want to change. And in that instance, you didn't want to be embarrassed and you didn't want to look dumb or shameful or whatever. And so you flipped real quick. Anger is a choice, and you resolve to manage it. In fact, the Bible says this in Proverbs 29:11. Let's read it aloud together this weekend. "A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control." Circle the word "keeps." Keeps means it's a choice. It's a responsibility. And when I get angry, I'm choosing to get angry, and I'm not blaming anybody else. Now, when I say resolve to manage your anger, resolve means you make a choice in advance. And listen very carefully. The time to decide to manage your anger is not when your blood pressure's rising, your adrenaline's shooting into your system, your nerves are all on alert, and you can feel the flush in your face and your muscles tense. No, you've already lost the battle at that point. You resolve to manage it in advance. Before I go into this meeting, before I open the door to home, you decide, today I'm just not going to get angry. I'm not going to let it get to me. And you manage it by first resolving, that means to decide in advance, that I'm going to make the choices and I'm going to work on it before it happens, not in the heat of the moment. I realize anger is a choice, and I'm going to choose today to not let anything really upset me. Number two, how do you do this is by, number two, remember the cost. When you remember the cost of uncontrolled anger, you will be more motivated to manage it. You see, you're less likely to get angry if you realize that there's always a price tag to anger. Now, the Bible's very, very specific, and I could have given you dozens of verses on the high cost of losing your temper. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22, "A hot-tempered man gets into all kinds of trouble." And you could go on and on about the all kinds. In fact, it's, you know, true confession is good for the soul. So how about on these next three verses, let's take a little survey and see if any of you could give personal testimony on this. How many of you would agree from your own life that you found in Proverbs 15:18 that hot tempers cause arguments? How many of you agree with that and have seen that? Yeah, right. Okay. How about this one? Anger causes mistakes. How many agree with that? Yeah, right. And how about this one? People with hot tempers do foolish things. Yeah. In fact, people make real fools of themselves in public. Well, you know, when you get angry, you lose 50% IQ. Something is like somebody shoots a hole in your head or something, and you do things you would never do. Silly, stupid, embarrassing things if you weren't angry. Proverbs 29:11-29 says this, "The fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left." You always lose when you lose your temper. You might write this down. I always lose when I lose my temper. I always lose when I lose my temper. Now, what do you lose? Well, you lose your reputation. You can lose the respect of others. You could lose your job. You could lose a sale. You could lose the love of your family. You could lose your health. You know, when you say, you know, he's such a pain in the, and name your favorite anatomy part. Well, it's true. You see, when I swallow my anger, my stomach keeps score. Your body was not designed to handle anger. God didn't mean for you to carry rage around inside of you. And when you carry anger constantly in you, you get sick. And there are all kinds of ailments that people could get out of the hospital from if they weren't carrying guilt, resentment, or anger. You see, it doesn't matter how well you eat. You may eat a perfect, organic, 100% natural macrobiotic diet, And if you're carrying anger around, you're still going to get sick, because it's not so much what you eat, it's what eats you. You could have a perfect diet and eat all the right foods, and still you're sick all the time. Why? It's what's eating you that's making you sick, not what you're eating. And so we need to remember the cost. Whenever we're tempted to lose our temper, you know, parents in particular learn pretty quickly that you can scare kids into doing something by getting angry at them. Now, you get in there right now and clean up your room is much more effective than, would you please go in and clean up your room? And we often will use anger to get people to do something. Why? Because it works in the short term. But the long-term effects are devastating. You can get people to do almost anything by frightening them. When you scare people, you can get people to do almost anything as long as they're afraid. And if they're afraid of your anger, well, then they're going to get in there and going to do it. And there's short-term payoffs. But in the long run, there are always three price tags for anger. More anger, apathy, and alienation. Whenever you get angry at someone, they don't respond well to that. When people get angry at you, when people get angry at you, do you want to hang out with them? No. When people get angry at you, you have three responses. First, you get angry back. Second, if they keep getting angry at you, pretty soon you just become apathetic and go, well, I can't please them. And that's the way a lot of kids feel. A lot of teenagers feel that way about their parents. Well, I can't please them. They're just always angry. And so they become apathetic. And if you keep getting angry, pretty soon to protect themselves, there comes alienation. And the relationship is broken. So you get the short-term obedience from your anger, but in the long term, you destroy the relationship with your child or anybody else for that matter. You have to resolve to manage it, and then you have to remember the cost. And what is the cost? Nothing destroys relationships faster than anger. Nothing. Nothing destroys relationships faster than anger. And so if you just keep using it in any relationship, you are guaranteeing that you're going to destroy that relationship and you're going to create apathy and more anger and alienation. And here's the third thing the Bible says. Reflect before reacting. Reflect before reacting. In other words, think before you speak. Put your mind in gear before you put your mouth in gear. Anger control is really largely a matter of mouth control. And if you can watch your words, then you're going to watch your anger. And what the Bible tells us is it is foolish to respond impulsively to anything. And when something gets your goat, something ticks you off, something irritates you, something makes you bad, the Bible says, first, resolve to manage it, then remember the cost of losing your temper, and then reflect before reacting. In other words, don't respond impulsively. Let there be a little delay before you respond. Proverbs 29, verse 11 says this. Let's read it aloud. A stupid man gives free rein to his anger. A wise man waits and lets it grow cool. Circle the word waits. He's saying one of the greatest tools for anger management is delay. He said, just wait a minute. Don't write that email instantly when you read one that's upsetting. Don't pick up the phone. Don't respond back when somebody says something mean-spirited to you. Don't do it. He said, wait. Our third president, Jefferson, used to say, he was the guy who invented the idea, when you get angry, count to 10. And he said, when you get really angry, count to 100. There's actually wisdom in that. Delay is a good factor in the longer you hold your temper, the more it improves. Now notice that verse. It says, a stupid man gives free rein to his anger, but a wise man waits and lets it, what? Grow cool. See, this is the biblical basis for the term chill out. Okay? He said, cool it. Chill out. God says, when you start to get angry, wait and chill out. And give yourself time to think and reflect and keep it through. As I said, the longer you hold your temper, the better it improves. So delay is a great remedy. Have you noticed that you can't put your foot in your mouth when it's closed? So just wait a minute. By the way, did you know that the average man, male, speaks 25,000 words a day? The average male. The average woman... What are you laughing about? Speaks 30,000 words a day. That's why when a guy comes home at night from work and the wife comes home at work from night, she's still got 5,000 more words. She's got a surplus there to share with her loving husband. I was talking to a guy one time. I said, does it bother you that your wife always has the last word? He said, no, I'm just glad when she gets to it. I'm glad Kay's not here in the service. Delay is a great remedy to anger. Now, I'm not talking about delay for a week or a month or a year. No. In fact, the Bible says, do not let the sun go down in your anger. In other words, don't carry anger from today on to tomorrow.
You've just heard Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. And while you're there, sign up for Rick's encouraging Daily Hope email devotional. It's great, and you'll find a ton of other extremely helpful resources. Now, Pastor Rick will be back in just a moment to share a final thought. But before that, let me ask you, is it possible to love the people in your life any more than you already do? Pastor Rick says it is. But it's not about trying harder or willing yourself to love more. It's about discovering what God says about love in His Word. Jesus said, there's nothing more important than loving God and loving others. And that's why Pastor Rick wants to send you his DVD and study guide called The 40 Days of Love Study Kit. In this 6-session video series, Rick teaches you how to make loving God and loving others the central focus in your life. He shares practical, Christ-centered advice on how to authentically love God and love your neighbors. And when you learn to focus on the spiritual principles of patience, kindness, truth, and forgiveness, love will become your dominant life value. Please let us send you the 40 Days of Love Study Kit as our way of saying thanks for your financial support to this ministry. Call us now at 800-600-5004 or just go to rickwarren.org. That's 1-800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. And thanks in advance for your support. And now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
No matter where you're listening to this program right now around the world, I want to thank you for your support of Daily Hope. Your prayers and your financial contributions are literally helping people all over the world learn about the hope that we have in Jesus. Right now, someone's listening to this broadcast and getting to know Jesus because of your prayer and because of your financial support. So I just wanted to say thank you. Your support means so much to me personally, and I want you to know that I take your trust very seriously. Every single dollar you donate to Daily Hope goes right back into the ministry. You know that I don't take a salary from Daily Hope. You're never going to hear about Kay and me owning a private jet or some boat. Or I drive a 14-year-old Ford truck, and I wear a watch that I bought at Walmart. Because we want to invest as much as possible into God's kingdom, because that's what's going to matter for eternity. Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth. And I believe Jesus meant it when he said that. Now, we want Daily Hope to reach more and more people. So I would appreciate you prayerfully continuing your support of this ministry in 2014. Would you pray about it? Here's the prayer I want you to pray. God, what do you want to give through me? Don't say, what can I afford to give? Say, God, what do you want to give through me? Then you're giving by revelation, not by reason. And God says he will honor your faith. I would love to have you as a partner in hope for 2014. Now, you can find out more about Daily Hope Ministry at my website, rickwarren.org, or just call my team at 1-800-600-5004. Thanks for listening, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous support.